genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
With Billy the Brain here on KKZZ. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to keep that number handy because we'll be having a giveaway for four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe a little bit later in the show, just in time for lunch today. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is jobs, politics, the war on terror, and new enlightenment. Each of today's segments will explore one or more of these subjects. My first guest is known throughout the world as the reengineering guru. He's the author of several books on reengineering business practices. He provides new enlightenment about being fast, flawless, and frugal, delivering products and services from his latest book, Deliver. The second segment is something new. It's a call-in segment. Several of my listeners have requested this, so I'll open up the mic and let callers express what's on their mind. We'll look at all the topics that you want to tackle. My third guest started his career in music and transitioned to create a think tank focusing on philosophical exploration of well-being and quality of life. We'll discuss his latest book, Ego, The Fall of the Twin Towers and the Rise of an Enlightened Humanity. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Jim Champy, is recognized throughout the world for his work on leadership and management issues on organizational change and business reengineering. He now consults extensively with senior executives of multinational companies seeking to improve business performance in four distinct yet overlapping areas: business strategy, management and operations organization development, and change and information technology. Jim earned his BS in 1963 and his MS in civil engineering in 1965 at MIT. He received his JD in 1968 and immediately passed the bar. Jim now turns his reengineering expertise to delivering better products and services. His latest book is titled Deliver: How to Be Fast, Flawless, and Frugal. Welcome back to the show, Jim. How are you today?
I'm fine, Billy. It's good to be with you once again.
Well, thank you so much for returning as a guest, as our thought leader. Now, you have really gained unprecedented access to five companies that are case studies in your latest book on how to do things correctly in the 21st century. Each of these companies delivers results that previously were thought to be impossible. Each did so with an absolute laser beam focus on four components of everyday execution. What were those four components that these companies focused on?
You know, they were certainly focused on customers. I've always been a strong believer, Billy, from the reengineering days, that you have to manage corporate change from the outside in. You focus on customers and the results that you want to achieve. They were certainly also focused on the quality of their own management teams. Doug Conant, who came in to really revive Campbell's Soup, had to make pretty deep changes in his management team to get the results that he really needed. Not that the folks who had been there weren't well-intentioned, but they had, Billy, they didn't have the appetite, I think, to bring Campbell's through the change that they really needed. Thirdly, these companies in many ways have a focus on what I would call a higher sense of purpose. That was particularly true with the story of the Virginia class subsystem that I wrote about, where a very, very complex boat was just built successfully more quickly and a lower cost than had ever been before, and I think this happened principally because people were focused on a, you know, a high sense of purpose. Fourth, all these folks, I think, had good process sensibilities. They understood that businesses run on processes. And in many ways, they were re-engineers, but they were re-engineers in their own style. Martin Franklin, who ran Jardin that I wrote about, was a very kind of tops-down driven manager. And Bob Aschbecker, who I wrote about in Actuant, was much more of a bottoms-up engaging kind of guy. But they were all very process-oriented. There were multiple characteristics, Billy, that these companies shared, but I think those were the principal ones.
Well, those are very major characteristics. My guest is Jim Champion. Jim, the thing that struck me in your answer, and it strikes me about your writing in general, is you believe that managing corporate change happens from outside in. Most people, including many of my listeners that are listening to the sound of our voice right now, believe, well, we can just change our customer service policies inside of our organization, or we can change our processes inside of our organization, and that's going to make us a better company. Talk to me about why that is a flawed strategy.
You know, my great teacher, Peter Drucker, used to always say to his students, you have to walk in the marketplace, Billy. You have to walk in the marketplace. And I think companies that are really well run, companies that are going through effective change, have people who understand their customers, understand the customer's needs, and Billy, more significantly, understand their customers' unmet needs. You know, when you look at brilliant business models and companies that do extremely well, a company like Apple, for example, you know, we didn't know a few years ago we needed iPads and iPhones. We didn't know many years ago that we needed a Federal Express and packages delivered, you know, the next day. These are companies that are led by managers, by executives who walk in the marketplace, experience what customers are really going through, what they need. And by the way, in the Deliver is one of a series of three books that I've completed. The earlier two called Inspire and Outsmart. All of these look at different and new business models, and many of these business models, Billy, are new because these are companies that have been founded by an entrepreneur who saw an unmet need, something that looked small and at least initially insignificant, but something if they grew into something major. I think the change that is driven strictly from within an enterprise gets a company looking too much inward, way too much inward, just examining themselves and oftentimes over-intellectualizing what they need to do. Just focus on the customer. The customer will tell you what to do.
Now, sound advice. My guest is Jim Champion, author of the new book, Deliver, How to Be Fast, Flawless, and Frugal. And Jim, in one of your earlier answers, you did talk about a very famous company that we all know and love, and that is Campbell's Soup. It's one that you profiled in your company. I mean, we all know it from the good days, but then it became purposeless and flat. I mean, they got diversified. They lost their way. How did Campbell's Soup use your four components to really accomplish a 10-year turnaround plan that revitalized the brand?
You know, the first thing was for its new executive at the time, Doug Conant, to face reality, Billy, and that's important. You know, when a company feels challenged, you really have to step back and make a truthful assessment of where you stand. And I think Conant did that. He saw a company that was inwardly focused, that had lost touch with what consumers really wanted, you know, had actually lost touch of what in some sense healthy eating was all about. And for Conant, it was a need to reach out to customers and understand the need for for healthier foods, that movement, and the need to kind of refocus Campbell some around the healthier eating habits, but at the same time build an organization, build a group of leaders who could bring the company through change. You know, no company, no executive brings an enterprise through change on his own or her own. They really require a group of people who can bring multiple skills, multiple capabilities, stay focused on the high sense of purpose of the company, and execute. And what Conant really was good at is not only sensing, again, what consumers needed, but he was good at execution. He was good at process. He knew what he had to get done in the supermarkets, in his channels, and what relationships had to look like. That was a major, basically rehabilitation of a brand, as you point out, that we all know so well.
Well, it was. It was a major turnaround because Campbell's had lost its way, and finally Conant brought it back online, and it's a great story that you have in your book. Let's take a look at another organization that many of my listeners don't think about when they think about companies like Campbell's Soup, and that's the U.S. Navy. Now, granted, we do have a Navy base right here in Ventura County, Navy base Ventura County is what it's called, Jim. But talk to me about the Virginia class of submarines, because I just saw them featured on the news the other day. As a matter of fact, it's a remarkable story about how you can really torpedo costs and bring things in at unheard of cost savings to the United States taxpayer. It's a great example.
Absolutely, Billy. And you know, Billy, I wanted to write about that case, about the Virginia class sub program, because it's a great example of how the government can, in fact, do great things. You know, we tend to be very critical of our government, particularly the Defense Department's ability to execute. But this is an example of a need. I mentioned the higher sense of purpose earlier. Look, this country needed, for our own protection and our own defense, a different and new class of submarine, one that was, you know, much more versatile, one that could go into many different kinds of depths of waters, of places, of geographies, carry different weapon systems, something much, much more versatile. And the original price tag, Billy, was were in the billions for these kinds of boats. And in fact, in the last round of estimates, the price tag had been set at about $2.5 billion, was already, even before these were being built, in an overrun situation. And basically, Admiral Mullen, who was the boss at the time, said, look, we'll go ahead with this program, but you got to take this down from a $2.5 billion boat to a $2 billion boat. That's a reduction of about 20% of an incredibly complex boat. By the way, this boat has more moving parts, than a Boeing superliner.
Sure.
And the complexity, this boat was being built in two separate shipyards, Newport News, an Electric Boat, different, you know, one in the north, one in the south. Congress wanted to spread the work, and I understand that. And by the way, the other important thing here was to not let our shipbuilding skills atrophy and be able to maintain these shipyards. But this was a case that was an example of the Navy and its leadership, and the leadership of these boatyards managing incredible complexity with good processes, with a higher sense of purpose, with a recognition, by the way, if they could produce two of these boats a year, which they now do, they would dramatically reduce their overhead. By the way, they use technology brilliantly. All of the plans here were digitally available to all of the workers, and they were able to put this boat together that was originally built in five parts, shipped by barge up to Newport News, and successfully assembled at a 20% lower cost.
And the amazing thing about this Virginia class of submarine, for those of you who are interested in this sort of thing, is that it is their first stealth submarine, that it runs at lower speeds and quieter at 30 miles per hour underwater than older submarines used to run at 5 miles per hour. My guest is Jim Champy, author of the new book, Deliver. Jim, let's deviate a little bit from even Campbell's in the United States Navy to a company that I'm sure most listeners don't know, and that's Actuant. Actuant manufactures hydraulic and mechanical tools. Now, certainly not an exciting product category, to say the least, but they delivered amazing results, quadrupling sales by creating lean manufacturing. Tell us about that story.
You know, this is, I mentioned the importance of process, Billy, earlier. This is a company that's very focused on process and making processes elegant and efficient across the organization. But it was a company that, as you pointed out, that came out of what might look like some uninteresting, at least not glamorous, industries and businesses. Although, if you watch the Olympics in Beijing, and that facility that we knew as the Bird's Nest structure was raised and lowered on hydraulics that were built by Actuant, very sophisticated engineering company. But this is a company, like other companies, that has grown by acquisition. But what's interesting to observe here is how it moves very carefully into each company that it buys. And it doesn't say, look, we're going to come in here and slash costs, as many acquirers do. But it says to its acquired companies and the people in those companies, basically, we acquired you because we see the value that you bring. And then, I think very delicately, but with still a firmness, installs in each company a way of looking at how to get work more efficient and more effective using lean processes, encouraging people to be engaged from the bottoms up, and eventually gets to significantly increase the efficiency of every company that it buys. It's the benign approach, Billy, to acquisitions and to changing a company that you buy. You know, the world of mergers and acquisitions are filled with failures when companies buy an asset and then destroy it by very brutally trying to change how it operates, not understanding the culture, not understanding the behaviors of people and the enterprises they buy. Actuant is, again, an example of a company that I think acts well, acts benignly, but very successfully to apply a uniform set of process change techniques and get their companies really lean.
Well, it's incredible the results that they were able to achieve. My guest is Jim Champy, author of the new book, Deliver, How to Be Fast, Flawless, and Frugal. Jim, what do you want readers to take away from reading your new book, Deliver?
You know, the first two books that I mentioned, Billy, Inspire and Outsmart, were about where new ideas come from and how to engage customers in unique ways. Deliver is about the everyday. It's about the importance of execution. It's about the importance of kind of setting that goal. It's about bringing people, process, and technology together in very effective ways. It's it's about the hard work. I think sometimes we get fooled and a bit of fantasizing by seeing companies that seem to grow out of nowhere. And we forget the hard work that it takes to get an enterprise to grow, and certainly the hard work that it takes to get an enterprise to change. And I want people to understand and get from this book the importance of focus on real work, and the need to focus on how work is performed, how, again, people, process, and technology come together to get the job done. Yeah. This is a book about execution.
All right. My guest is Jim Champy. Now, Jim, you've tackled healthcare. You've tackled execution in this particular book, Deliver. When are you going to take on government?
Billy, I actually started a book years ago with my dear friend, a person I admire very much and for whom I work, Ross Perot Sr. Ross and I talked about taking on the challenge of government. You might remember Ross in his campaign when he ran for president.
1992, I believe. Sure, yeah.
His infomercials. He was so right. If you go back and look at those infomercials, he was so right in what government needed to do. But, Washington is in such a difficult state right now. Actually, I would begin with one of my reengineering principles if I were to take on Washington today and say it's time to start with a clean sheet of paper, actually a clean sheet of paper, and to fundamentally rethink how government needs to operate in this century. It is just, I think, dysfunctional. A lot of well-intentioned people, I think terribly naive, again, about what it's going to take to make change happen, taking positions, as you know, that are driven so much by ideology and not by the reality of what we have to deal with today. Boy, I'd love to write that book, Billy. I don't know whether anybody would read it.
Well, it's there for the writing, Jim. We absolutely need it. It's there for the writing if you ever want to take on the challenge. My guest has been Jim Champy, author of the new book, Deliver. Jim, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can simply go to my website at jim@jimchampy.com.
Jimchampy.com. Jim, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorm, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Very good, Billy. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.